You don't let the grandkids open it up and play with your rod and reel, or play with a football that was a memorabilia item worth thousands of dollars, or an old Babe Ruth card, or maybe it's grandma's china. You don't let anybody touch it. It just sits there. I always wonder why people have a china cabinet and they don't actually use it. It just sits there collecting dust. Our china is, you can buy it at Dollar General, and it's called foam plates, paper plates. So, yeah, we don't have any china. But anyway, people take really good care of that, and they value those items. And maybe rightly so. It's your grandfather's, grandmother's, you know, it's your grandfather's, you know, whatever. And it has value. But God's word should have so much more value than anything that can rot, that can get stolen, that can be broken. I mean, we sang the song about God never fails. God's word never fails. And we ought to learn to value his word. It doesn't come naturally. I mean, it's funny. We, you know, when we buy certain toys for the kids, I mean, those of you that are parents, you ever bought a toy for your child, you know, it don't last long. You know, I mean, Shannon bought a little cute little purse for Eden. She gave it to her. Within 5 minutes, it was on the floor. I mean, you know, and so, you know, Jude, I mean, you know, a dart gun, you know, a Nerf dart gun. I mean, the bullets go missing, you know, and the thing gets broken. It's left outside. And, you know, and so, but God's word never fails. I'm thankful that God's word never fails. Can you imagine that? If God's word had an expiration date, how valuable would your salvation be? If what God's word says, it's not even my notes, but just go ahead and pull up, and I got a video for you, but just go ahead and pull up Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We're just going to read these two verses, and just imagine if there was an expiration on this passage, just two verses. These two verses set the tone for our salvation. You can go ahead and put up Romans, or I can look it up. That's fine. There you go. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone say, you will be. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You may be seated. Just imagine if that had an expiration date. That there will be a time that if you did that, you won't be saved. Well, because it was only, you know, it was only for a certain period of time. You missed it. Anybody ever try to use a coupon? You try to use it and the person returns it back. I'm sorry, but the expiration, that was last year, October 2020. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. I mean, how many of you knew you were just hoping that they wouldn't look at the date? All right, okay, some honest people here. All right. Yeah, I knew, but, you know, just hoping that they would take it anyway. But imagine if God's word was like that. It's not. I've said this before. We can take God's word to the bank. We can take God's word to the very last breath and then some. Because God says that his word will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. What a great promise. What a great truth. That regardless of what your body says, God's word will not return void. God's word will not fail. Whatever, what anybody says, if you get a pink slip when you go to work tomorrow, whatever anybody says, God's word will never fail. He's Jehovah Jireh. So whatever your boss man, boss woman says, God, Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. Doesn't matter. The owner of that company you work for is not your provider. He's not your source. He or she is not your source. God is, according to Scripture. But imagine if God's word did fail. What a horrible state we'd be in. How could we say we offer hope? Hope that after a certain day falls and is no more? That's not hope. Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, for your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us today, revealing God's truth, revealing biblical principles that we are not to overlook, but to cherish and value. Holy Spirit, as you reveal God's truth to us, help us to see that you're revealing Jesus. Help us to see that what you're revealing is what we are to apply to our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, as Thomas mentioned, and then Janine also mentioned tomorrow, Martin Luther King, and I have a video, and I wanted just to share this, that I was just thinking, wow, that's really cool. It's a Mexican preacher about to go ahead and share a tribute to an African-American man that loved God, and regardless of the color of his skin, your skin, my skin, God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And just imagine and think of the message, regardless of what story, other stories from reporters or whatever, but the fact of what this man, Martin Luther King, was fighting for, what he was standing up for. He was willing to stand up for what he believed was right, and what he received from God's word was right for him. And I'm thankful, like Janine said, that one man can impact the lives of so many. Just think of the impact that you can make. And it's not because of you, it's because of Christ in you, the hope of all glory, of God's glory. It's Christ in you that makes you, that makes you a citizen of heaven. Because without Jesus, you're not getting in. I'm not getting in. So be encouraged as we watch this tribute, and also begin to just ask God, okay, I'm watching this, but what am I to do with this? See, tomorrow, you know, it's the national holiday that we commemorate Martin Luther King's birthday, and his actual birthday is the 15th, so it was yesterday. But ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do to continue what he was fighting for, what he was striving for, what he was desiring for? For justice, for man and a woman to be treated fairly because they are God's creation, that they ought to be loved and cared for, regardless of the color of their skin. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37, verses 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I might jump around if the Spirit leads me, but one of the things I wanted to remind everyone of these booklets that we have, we still have some up here in the front row, where we've asked the church, and I'm not sure how many of you have committed to read and meditate on the promise on the promise of the day booklet, and maybe some of those that we've already read, maybe some of those verses didn't make sense or didn't connect with you of what's going on in your life for that particular day, but I want to encourage you. The truth is that God's word is valuable every day, regardless of whatever we're going through. And what we read will hopefully, I've experienced this several times, is that when I've read something, it didn't really connect with anything. But man, 3 days later, I was so glad that I read that verse. Can I be honest with you? There were times where I forgot to read something, maybe read half of the chapter. Thought, I'll read the rest of it later on before I go to bed. And I didn't. And 2 days later, that was a word that I needed for that day or the next day. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I should have finished reading and I didn't. And I needed that word. I needed that reminder. God's word is valuable regardless of what day you're going through. Because God will speak it to you, and it'll either be for that time or for a time that you need in the days to come. And so many people lose out on not just reading his word, but also standing and knowing what to stand on. So we must stand and hold on to what God has spoken in his word. There is value in what God has spoken. So in Genesis chapter 37, it says, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Now, Joseph, being 17 years old, if you didn't know, Joseph, 17 years old, we find that he receives this dream. And it's interesting because at 17, really not all that mature, right? 17, how many of you can remember you were 17, what things that you did? Thank you, God, for watching over me. So he was 17 years old, feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. Verse 3, now Israel loved, or Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Somebody should have told Joseph, oh, wait a minute. Before you share that dream, remember your bros don't like you very much already. So don't make it worse, okay? But again, being 17, you know, open mouth, insert foot many times, right? Verse 5, Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. They hated him even more. Verse 6, so he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. And I wonder if he was 17. He said, there we were, binding sheaves in a field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. You know, like a 17-year-old probably would, throwing it, you know, to his older brothers, because he was the youngest at the time. And verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream. Brother said to him, so shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall we indeed have dominion over us? They hated him even more. It didn't help his cause. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. Oh, there he goes again. He's probably going to have another sheaf. And so it continues. It says, at this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to him. I wonder what 11 stars he was talking about. But the 11 stars stood bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And then his father stepped in and rebuked him. Be quiet, boy. And said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? If you didn't know this story, I'm going to tell you the end. They do actually come to him before him. But it's not because of Joseph, but because of God using Joseph. And a lot of times we forget that. It's not me. It's not you, of how great memory that you've memorized a verse or whatever sermon you heard yesterday. It's Christ in you. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals these spiritual things of God to you. So it's always because of God. So shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? Let's go to my first slide. My first point is this: value his word, for it will never fail. It is so true that God's word doesn't fail. And it was awesome because I totally forgot that we were going to be singing that song. But God's word never fails. God never fails. Isaiah 55 verse 10, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there. Oh, by the way, Lydia told us it's snowing in Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, I so badly want to be there. But anyway, please pray, because there's a lot of people going to, I mean, power outages, there's ice storms. And so please pray, because I was thinking just this morning, I really want to see snow. But not that bad where, you know, I can't drive on the road because they're full of ice. So just pray for those people. Nobody would die. I mean, there was even a tornado in Fort Myers, Florida, because everything, this big, huge storm's coming through. So just offer up some prayers to these people that will be affected. So verse 11, the brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. We have to value God's word. So it says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I don't want to ask anybody to raise your hand because it might feel a little embarrassing. You go and you use, maybe it's a gift card somebody gave you. You thought it had money on it. You go to the store, you go to the restaurant, you sit there and you're full and you give them the card and, oh, I'm sorry, sir, there's no balance on it. You felt a little, weird, you felt embarrassed. God doesn't have to feel that way when he speaks his word and his spoken word to actually have the feeling of, will one day it be voided? Will one day it expire? His word, as he speaks to it, it goes forth from his mouth and shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Now, I asked a couple of people. I think Adam and Janine are the only ones. You had a coin here. Mom, you didn't get one. You need to have one. Yeah. And Adam, would you give that one to Olivia? I think she's the only one. Did you guys get coins over here? Oh, Shannon didn't get a coin. Sorry. And give one to your daughter as well. All right. And then anybody in this section that I didn't get? Yeah, these people over here. Pass those. One, two, three. And then did you get one? You guys didn't get one. Somebody didn't get one.
Pam
didn't get one. All right. And you didn't get one. Okay. It's my illustration. You didn't get a coin. You felt got left out. I know your hands are being raised over there. It's not that it's just purposely. You didn't get something. See, God values his word because he knows who he's speaking it to. And he knows who he's speaking over with his word. And now, the interesting thing that I want to point out is that not everybody got a coin. And this is what the world ends up saying, that you know that you're missing out and you're invaluable because you're not a part of the group. And so, but God looks at all of us and says, you are all my creation. And I desire for each and every single one of you to be where I am for all of eternity. But this is what happens in the church. Some of you that have pennies, raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, you guys really don't matter in the church. You guys really just aren't all that, you know. How many of you have quarters? Raise your hand. Now you guys are the cream of the crop. You're better than everybody else. See, certain people feel that way in the church. And that is so wrong. Because every one of us needs Jesus. Jesus died for every one of us. So therefore, every one of us are valuable. So if I had time, I would give a coin to everybody now. But I would make sure that they were all quarters, because I don't have any dollar coins in here. But that would give everyone a quarter so that you would understand and see that you are valuable. To God, you are valuable. And if you ever feel that you are not valuable, look to what he did. He sent Jesus. We are to value his word because it will never fail. And we are to realize, my second point is that he values you. You see, the creator of all that is seen and unseen spoke and it came to be. How would anything else he says not come to pass? And how the people that he's speaking to not be valuable if he is speaking his valuable word to them? Now, in the Old Testament, it was the Jews. They were God's chosen people. But because of Jesus, it's all of us now. Because of Jesus, there is no separation. Because of Jesus, Jew and Gentile get to become the children of God. Because of Jesus, it's not the color of your skin. Oh, no. Because of Jesus, for whosoever would believe in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. The problem is that when God's word doesn't happen when we want it to, you know what happens? Maybe in our psyche, and sometimes people don't realize that they're doing this. When it doesn't happen, what God's word says in our time, somehow the value diminishes. Somehow, instead of what God gave you was that quarter, now it's a penny. And that is so wrong. That's so of the flesh. That's so of what the enemy wants to do, to cause us to see that what God says is really not valuable. There's really something else. I mean, that's what he did in the garden. There were all bunch of fruit on all the other trees. You don't need that fruit. You want this fruit from right here. That's what the enemy did. He's still doing that today. Listen, I don't give the devil any credit. I wish I can kick him in his face. I don't give him any credit other than the fact that he and he's really not smart. Now, some people have said he's smart. I don't really think he's smart. He just knows what button to push. He just knows what can easily draw us away from what God's word says. And this is coming from the two people that walked with God in the coolness of the day. That was with God. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have internet. They didn't have any of that stuff. They just had fellowship with God. And yet the devil knew what to say and how to get their eyes off of what God provided. And said, but you want this one over here. So understand that God's word has value even regardless if it doesn't happen when we want it to. So Joseph was 17 years old, not mature enough to see that, man, this dream, it is heavy. I need to be careful in telling them this. But somehow what God spoke to him, he went through some ups and downs. I'm not sure how many of you ever had brothers and sisters beat you up, took off your jacket and threw you into a pit. And we don't have time to go through the rest of the story, but his brothers actually planned to sell him to some Ishmaelites, some people that were traveling through to sell him. Actually, first to kill him, then to go ahead and what they actually did was they actually killed an animal, put blood on the coat, took it back to the father and said, hey, this is what we found. And then even it was a brother named Reuben. It doesn't specifically, but when you read it, he had some ulterior motives because he wanted to look good in the sight of his father. So he says, no, let's leave the boy alone, throw him in the pit. But it says, scripture says that he was going to go back and retrieve the boy and take him back to his dad. There was some ulterior motives that he wanted to get all the recognition. Hey, dad, I brought your boy back because I know you love him more than all of us. You gave him a jacket. So Joseph went through a lot of difficulty. The moments in his life, many times it must have felt like God abandoned him. I'm not sure if any of you have ever felt like God's abandoned you. Maybe you felt like God's not listening. He's out to lunch. Your prayers just only go surface high, just the ceiling high, and that's it. But somehow Joseph held on to these dreams. Joseph held on to a relationship with God. So much more so that as you read on, actually Joseph's story spans from chapters 37 to chapter 50 in the book of Genesis. But there are instances where we see that God's favor was on Joseph so much that it took the attention of other people around him. And I don't believe that that was just because Joseph went to whatever temple that was, open on the Sabbath. I believe that Joseph had a relationship with God and he held on to what God said. Now, we don't know and we don't see in scripture that God sat down with Joseph and explained to him the specifics. I've mentioned this before. How many of us would love for God to give us the specifics of what he's shown us, of what he's speaking to us, of what he's telling you today? You would love for him to give you the specifics. But faith ought to be that you don't need and require the specifics just to know what he is speaking to you today. And that ought to be enough. If you value what he says. And if you see, my second point, if you see the fact that who he's speaking to, put up the second slide. If you see who he's speaking to, look up, stand up, speak up what God has spoken over you. Understand that he is speaking to us in his word, and it's to us. So if he's given if his word is valuable, well, won't return void, who is he speaking to? Those of you who are parents, you love your kids. Hopefully you demonstrate that in words to them. Also in actions, but in words. Words that your children can hold on to. Words that will be ingrained and embedded in their minds. I've never told my kids, you're stupid. I've never told my kids, you imbecile. I never have spoken down to them. I kind of told them that I grew up in the age of the Three Stooges, so I use the word knucklehead. That's, to me, it's just a term of endearment. But anyway, I grew up in that era, so I used the knucklehead a couple of times, but I don't ever speak down to them and degrade them. I do my best not to embarrass them. Is Dad, perfect? No, but they'll never be able to tell anybody that I've spoken down to them and said they're imbecile, they're idiots, they're stupid, they'll never get things right. I've never spoken in those words to them because God's never spoken that to me. So why should I speak that over them? So what God has spoken to us, look it up. And when you look it up, look to God, lift up your head, for he is the glory and the lifter of my head, Psalm 3 says. And then stand up, stand on what he's saying. Look, my body is aching, my arm is throbbing, my shoulder is throbbing. But God, I stand on what Jesus did. By your stripes, I am healed. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's what God's wanting us to do. Stand on his word. When the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus didn't just nonchalant, I think God did. No, he stood on what God said. And he not was on the defensive, but on the offensive on what the devil was trying to bring to him. So, yet God's dream to Joseph did come to pass. Not in his time, because I think Joseph would have wanted God's dream to come to pass as soon as he fell into the pit. He would have loved for these dreams to, oh God, really? Can you bring that sun, moon, and the stars to bow down before me now so I can get out of this pit? Actually, it took about 13 years because we find in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, we find that Joseph is 30 years old and he is now over Potiphar's house. Now, we don't know how many more years it took, probably a good 7+, so maybe about 20 years. Because there was 7 years of famine, and then there was 7 years of plenty, and then there was 7 years of famine. And during that time, his family came to him where his brothers bowed down before him. So roughly 13 to 20 years it took for those two dreams to come to pass. Genesis chapter 50, verse 18, his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. You see, our Heavenly Father doesn't change. His word doesn't change. We may change, but his word doesn't change. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. Thank you, God, who also will do it. God is faithful enough to call you to be his own. And he's faithful in us to help you for that day that you stand before him. See, God's not the kind of God that says, hey, you know what? I'm here with you. You accepted my son. But you know what? I'll see you later and I'll come back whenever. No, Jesus said that the Father and himself will come and abode in the believer's life. I'm so thankful for that, because then even Jesus said, it is expedient for me to go so that the Father, so I can send the Holy Spirit to you. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your guide. So now I got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with me. Three in one, the Trinity walking with me every day. Not leaving out on me, not skipping out on me, not putting a sign that says, be back out to lunch, be back in 15 minutes. No, God doesn't fail. Jesus says he'll never leave. God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus doesn't plan on leaving us, because he talks to the Father about you every day. God's thoughts about you are more than the grains of sand. Those of you that love to go to the beach, each grain of sand, those are God's thoughts about you. Many thoughts. Why? Because you're valuable to him. My last point. I want to read something before I go to my last point. Don't miss the connection. The spoken word, the written word, is the living word, which shall not return void. Jesus will never be voided out. He'll never be outdated or expired. A commentator, Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, wrote, the Bible, it convinces powerfully, converts powerfully, and comforts powerfully. It makes a soul that has long been proud to be humble, and a perverse spirit to be meek and obedient. Sinful habits that have become as it were natural to the soul and rooted deeply in it are separated and cut off by his sword. It will discover to men their thoughts and purposes, their vileness, and the bad principles they are moved by. And this, he's referencing Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 11 through 16, talking about God's word is a two-edged sword, and that it cuts us, but yet it comforts us, and it reveals what's really going on the inside, our thoughts, our intents. Sometimes you might want to do something nice, and the Holy Spirit will say, why are you doing that for? Are you doing it so that you could be seen? Are you doing it so that it could provide an opportunity to glorify the Father? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will make sure that why are we doing certain things. So those coins, Adam, can I ask you to pick up all the coins, just walk around? It's just in these two sections. So these coins, understand and know, those of you that don't have coins, you are valuable to God, regardless of whether or not I gave you a coin. Those of you that received coins, you got a penny. You know what? You're worth more than value than that penny. You're so valuable to God that God sent his only begotten son, John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says that, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it, that through him the world might be saved. Why? Because you and I are valuable to God, so valuable that he'll give his very best, his only begotten son, to die. And Jesus would die for you. You are so valuable to Jesus that he would die for you while he knew you were a sinner, Romans 5, 8. So the living word is active in the lives of those who receive it. Psalm 1 says the person who meditates on and delights in God's word will be like that tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Why? Because God's word will not return void. Because God's word will not expire. I think it's slide 3, Joe. Put up slide 3. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention. You will do well to pay attention to God's word as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We have this word, the living word, living in us. Jesus being with us and in us. Going back to Joseph's and God's dream, God could have given that dream to any of the other brothers to reveal God's plan. But it was God who spoke it to Joseph. And God gave Joseph this dream of what was to come. God's purpose was for him, without the specifics, to believe in what God said was going to happen. You see, without the specifics, God's promises, his word, his dreams of purpose for you are never diminished. You just have to believe and hold on to it till it happens. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What if it doesn't happen? If it don't happen this year, hold on to it and wait until it happens. If what you're praying for doesn't happen, doesn't matter. Hold on to it and wait for it till the day. And what I'm learning is I've been trying to teach and to share. Begin to praise God today. Begin to thank God today until the day that it comes to pass. Now, I have no idea what Joseph did. What did he do? What was his ritual? What did he do every day to cause him to continue to hold on? He had every opportunity to say, you know what? God forgot me. I'll forget God and make his own plan and go his own way. Yeah, he could have. You know, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it, but he could have went and, you know, had a couple of nights with Potiphar's wife. He had many opportunities to look at his experiences and say, God's checked out, so I'm going to check out. But he didn't. He didn't. He had this dream, and this dream was so valuable to him that the one that gave him the dream was even more valuable to continue to have a relationship with. And again, as I mentioned, so much more so that God poured favor on him. That because, not because of Joseph, but because God speaking and revealing to Joseph, that God gave Joseph all of the land of Egypt that he was over, because Pharaoh said, I'm giving you this signet, I'm giving you all of this clothing, and you are the second in command, and everything, when I'm gone and I'm not around, it's all on you, buddy. God's favor on him was that great. My last point, value his promise because he values you. It's a promise for whosoever. A promise for all because Jesus makes it possible. To value God's dream, to value that God was calling on him and placing this dream, to value the God that gave him the dream. And we are given many opportunities and reasons of the flesh to forget what God has spoken and revealed to us. I pray that you choose to hold on to what God has said. So let's be reminded to value God's word. For his word is the living word. His word that has been spoken to us. His word that is the way, the truth, and the life, eternal life. His word that was given to the world, that whosoever would believe in him, which is Jesus, because God demonstrates his great love for us, whoever believes in his son Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. I pray that we would learn to value God's word more. And even as we go through this little small booklet, even as I began to give this booklet, a thought came to my mind the first Sunday. God, is this really going to make an impact? And then right away, it's got God's word on it, doesn't it? So whether you read it and stand on it, quote it, shout it out, read it back to yourself several times, meditate on it, that will be the deciding factor of how much of an impact it will make in your life. But if you just grab it and just throw it in your car or leave it on your, you know, on your bookshelf to collect dust with your Bible, not saying that you do, but if you do, then it's really not going to make an impact. But I challenge you to commit to reading this verse, and don't just read it, but meditate on it throughout the day. Joe, go ahead and just play a video, and I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, God is speaking something to you today. We want to pray with you. During the course of this song, allow the Holy Spirit to speak. If you feel that you are not valuable, you're listening to some words that are not from God's word, I encourage you to look to what God's word says about you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That Jesus died. The fact that he loved us, that he died for us, even though he knew we were sinners, Christ died for us. And if there's a situation going on in your life that you need wisdom, God's word says that if you are lacking wisdom, come to him and he'll give to you liberally the wisdom that he has for you. And stand on that verse that, man, God's word will lead and direct me. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you.